Tuesday morning. Good morning. It's Evan Bray. Good to have you with us, and thank you for joining us. Thanks again to Tom Korski from Blacklock's Reporter for the half an hour chat we had just before 9 o'clock to kick us into our open line segment this morning. And there's a couple of different areas that I want to talk about. I see a couple of texts on the line saying NHL playoffs, question mark, topic of discussion. How about those Leafs win last night? Max Domi with the game winner last night in overtime. A pretty exciting finish there for sure.
Benoit into the zone. Drops for Domi. He's through. Domi scores! Max Domi's the overtime hero in game two.
So there you go, Sean. Thanks for the text. And Maple Leaf fans happy this morning. They take a 2-0 lead in that Battle of Ontario. Back to the politics stuff, we have a couple of storylines that we're following this morning. The first one, and this is what I was talking with Tom Korski about at the start of our conversation this morning, is this report that was brought out over the weekend. And I said it was brought out quietly because it was brought out fairly quietly by the Privy Council. Now, it's important to understand what the Privy Council is. The Privy Council is basically a council that is set up, as Tom put it, the top of the federal public service. So it has people that will have full-time roles somewhere in the public service, but they also hold an important position on the Privy Council, who provide support and advice to the Governor General, to the Prime Minister, and to Cabinet on state issues, on constitutional issues. They do forecasting. They identify trends. They basically are an organization that are there to try and help the government, consult with, provide guidance to the government, on various different issues. So knowing that, the Privy Council, this is not a report that was brought out by some extreme group on one far right, far left side of the political scale. This is the Privy Council. And they've got a think tank called Policy Horizons Canada, and they put forward what they call a foresight brief. And I think we would all expect that government would do this sort of thing. They would have people within the government that will do some forecasting, that will look at trend lines and try and provide some sort of analysis of what does the future look like for our country. Have you seen this report? This is what we talked about with Tom this morning. Upward social mobility is uncommon. So this is a paper that forecasts, a report that forecasts what life might look like 15 years from now in Canada. So they're extrapolating it out to 2040. Upward social mobility is uncommon. Hardly anyone believes they can build a better life for themselves or their children in this future. In fact, most people worry about sliding down the social order. Canada becomes less attractive for migrants. People will be crowding into gated communities for protection against social, economic, and political conflict. Post-secondary education inaccessible. Home ownership unattainable. An epidemic of mental health. This report leaves me with a dry mouth and a frown and a worry about if, again, this is the Privy Council report. What does this say about where we're at right now and where we're headed unless we make some major adjustments? Have you read the report? And if not, I would encourage you to have a read of it. And it no doubt will factor into your concerns in terms of what the future looks like for our country. And as someone who is a very proud, diehard, staunch Canadian, not wanting to leave Canada, wanting to continue to be part of Canada, boy, this report, I think, gives us something to aim higher, I guess, is maybe a good way to put it. The other thing that I wanted to touch on this morning, and I know we've got a couple of calls waiting to comment on this. I know we'll have a lot of people with thoughts on this question, is would we be better off in Canada if we were a two-party system federally? And the reason that I ask this question is there's been a couple of reports out in the last couple of days talking about the fact that this year is going to be a momentous election for the reason that it's been two generations since Canada has had an election where more than 80% of the vote was cast for one of the two main political parties in the country. Now, we haven't had the election yet, so it may end up being those aren't the numbers. But right now, if you look at the polls, if you look at the forecasting, it looks as if most of the country's vote, over 80%, is going to go to one of the two main parties, the Conservatives or the Liberals. So the NDP, the Bloc, the Greens, and any other parties that find themselves on the ballots are going to be picking up the scraps. The last time more than 80% of Canadians voted for one of the two main parties was 1958. That was the year that John Diefenbaker's Tories won that massive majority. Before that, 1930. So that sort of a mass vote for the two main Canadian parties is not something that happens every year, but it looks as if it's going to happen this year. Could we, in Saskatchewan, benefit? Maybe that's the question. Would we benefit from a two-party system? Does that stop the dilution, the diluting the water that happens? And do we get better representation? Do we have our voice heard better on a two-party system? When you think of it, that's what we have provincially. We have two parties that we vote for. Certainly south of the border, that's the long-standing way they vote in their federal election. Would we be better with a two-party system federally? I'm intrigued. I got to be honest about what that would look like and what effect that would have for us here in the prairies. 1-877-332-8255 is the number. What do you think? Is this the way to go? I'm going to start with Edwin in Regina. Good morning, Edwin. Thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts on a two-party system?
I think it's the way to go. It would force people to work together more nationally. I think we also got to change our Supreme Court to one court justice per province or territory and change our Senate being voted in by the provinces.
All right. There's some reform, Edwin, just laid out for us there in terms of Supreme Court, Senate, and going to a two-party system. Interesting point, intriguing point, Edwin points out. We would see maybe better collaboration. Maybe we would see them working together, less division. I don't know. I mean, if you look to the States, I'm not sure we see that in many ways down there. But what we've seen here with alliances, coalitions, supply and management agreements, it doesn't always align that they are definitely not all on the same page. I want to go to Gordon in Wadena. Gordon, I'm asking the question this morning, would we be better with a two-party system federally in Canada? What do you think?
I would go one step further than that.
Okay, where would you go?
Two-term system as well. When you were in there for two terms, you must elect a new leader to run your party.
Interesting. So again, that would be very similar to what we see in the United States.
Yep. And the quicker it gets done, the better.
Gordon, I appreciate your call. 1-877-332-8255. Lots of people weighing in on the text line, which I anticipated we would get, and thank you for that. Although Pat in Moose Jaw says, you know, Evan, I think your question is wrong. You should be asking why governments feel they have a mandate to make sweeping changes when they're not even getting 50% of the vote. Most people do not want big changes. Rowley in Turtleford, a two-party system likely has merit, but it would also probably mean a 52-48 split, just like the States. You solve one problem, but you create another. 1-877-332-8255. All right. The other thing we were chatting a bit about is the Privy Council report, and I knew we'd get some calls on that. Darren out of Saskatoon, your thoughts on that Privy Council report?
Well, Evan, as you know, I'm a bit of a political wonk, and I've read the briefing notes on it, not the entire report. But we have to remember that that Privy report talks about the majority of Canadians. So to put some color onto that, that tells me I have never been more proud and more excited to live in the province that I live in. This is the only place, this is the only land of opportunity in Saskatchewan. I mean, the only place of opportunity in Canada. I attended a conference where Michael Poloz, the past president of the Bank of Canada, spoke to a room of 400 investment managers and business owners and said, Your children will never own a piece of property in Ontario. Tell your children to go west, young men, because the place to be for the next 50 years is Western Canada. Saskatchewan and Alberta, I've never been more proud. My children can own a home here. There are jobs. We're leading the economy in production. This is an amazing place. That report is an indictment on the current government and why we need a change, and it's exciting to be in this great province.
Darren, always appreciate your enthusiasm, and especially your enthusiasm for our province, because I share it, and I appreciate you giving me your thoughts. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back. So we've kind of got two topics on the go. The Privy Council report that came out that predicts essentially a collapse in Canada in 15 years if we don't make some hard pivots. And then this notion that in this election, we're likely to see a strong majority of Canadians, over 80%, likely to vote for one of the two main parties, either the Conservatives or the Liberals. Does this point us to, would we be better off with a two-party system federally in Canada? Your thoughts on that when we come back here, 650 CKOM, 980 CJME. Well, good morning and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Evan Bray Show, where open lines are well underway. 1-877-332-8255. A couple of different storylines we're following along. We're talking about the Privy Council report that is absolutely, I use the word baffling, maybe not in that I'm completely shocked by some of the things written in there, but this is a report that essentially comes from the Privy Council, which is, you know, a bunch of top federal public servants who support and provide advice to the Prime Minister, to Cabinet on issues that involve Canada. And their report, a foresight brief put out by their think tank, Policy Horizons Canada, basically paint a pretty bleak picture of what Canada's going to look like in 15 years by 2040. And it's got an epidemic of mental health. Inheritance is the only reliable way to get ahead. Home ownership unattainable, post-secondary education inaccessible. There's a variety of things, a mass exodus from Canada. And again, this is not a fringe organization. This is a pretty important organization in our country. I'm curious to know about the timing of this, as we talked about with Tom Korski this morning, because it is funded by taxpayer money. You and I paid for this report. It is obliged to be released to the public. It was done so fairly quietly on the weekend, but is something that's getting some attention, and people are weighing in on that. At the same time, it's looking as if we're going to have the majority of Canadians, over 80%, vote for one of the two main political parties in Canada. Would we be better with a two-party system? Someone pointed out on the text line in Pierre Poilievre's writing, there are 91 names on the ballot. And by the way, yes, I realize in the United States there are other groups, there are other parties that people try and represent, whether it's independent or other parties, but they don't gain the momentum. They don't have official status, of course, in having elected officials. And as a result, you've really essentially got a two-party system. Would we be better here if we had that? 1-877-332-8255. Okay, let's go to the phone line. Lyndon in Windthorst, you're next up. Did you get dumped on by that snow yesterday, by the way?
We did so. We were right in the depth of it.
I know. Windthorst, Saskatchewan, to me, if I look at the area that got affected by it, it looks as if you guys were right in the center of it.
Yeah, it's moisture, but it's depressing.
Okay. Well, what have you got for me this morning, Lyndon, on this notion of a two-party system? Would that be better for Canada?
Well, I got a couple of points on election reform. I don't think you can shoehorn everybody into two parties. I would kind of lean more towards doing a ranked ballot. And you still end up with somebody having a majority in, and I think we'll help better. And the biggest thing would be to get rid of the British parliamentary system, so that everybody that's elected as an MP is part of the government. And the elected MPs would decide who's going to be prime minister, who's going to be finance minister.
It's you know, it's an interesting thought, because electoral reform, or finding, you know, ways in which we can reform how we elect government, how we govern. I'm seeing lots of people weighing in on Senate, for example. In fact, I know I saw a call. Yeah, here it is right here. I might as well take it right now. Dave in Humboldt, Senate reform is high on your priority list.
Well, yeah, like let's make that equal, you know, like they do in the States. Like every province gets a certain amount. Let's make them elected, because, you know, just appointing a bunch of lackeys isn't doing us any good, and let's give them a couple of powers. Otherwise, why have them there at all? Just defund them and get rid of them. It's just a waste of money if we don't change it.
1-877-332-8255. Eric from Prince Albert, one major change that should be made is the members of parliament, any elected official, must spend at least half of their time in their riding to get rid of these elected officials that represent an area but live elsewhere. This is kind of turning into a conversation on election reform or government reform, which is good. I like that. Donna and Harris said, Evan, I say a three-party system. Conservatives are too conservative, liberals are too liberal, and NDP are too socialistic. Combine them, and maybe it would be just right. Donna, thanks for the text. Travis in Weyburn says no to a two-party system. Look no further than the South. Two parties, no options when both parties stray to the extremes. 1-877-332-8255. I got time for one more quick call before our next break. John in White City, you're calling in about the Privy Report, John.
Well, first off, two-party system is the way to go. You don't have to worry about a minority government. The report, how are we going to hunt for our food if the Liberals take our guns? And we have to understand that if governments aren't going to make people responsible for what they do and do not put them in jail, the world is going to go very bad. That's it.
You're not shocked by the report is essentially what I'm hearing out of John in White City this morning. 1-877-332-8255. Someone texted, said, where can I find this report? You can find it online. I actually found it on the Blacklocks website, which is blacklocks.ca. I came across it just when I was doing some reading the other day. This report came out over the weekend, but really came to light on Monday, and I think is gaining some momentum now. It doesn't provide any definitive information as to who was commissioned to do the research. The authors were all federal employees. We do know that. And again, it was brought up through the Privy Council as well. So you can check that out online. Fairly easy to find there as well. Parliamentary reform desperately needed is how Randy in Dundurn starts his text. We'll read the rest of his text and hear more of your thoughts when we come back here during Open Lines. You're listening to 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. You know, if you think about this conversation that we're having, like a big coffee row, and I've referred to it that as that way many times. I know John Gormley, my predecessor, referred to it as that. We're all sitting around a coffee table, having a conversation. Someone throws a question up, and sometimes you get one or two people at the table voicing their thoughts. Well, this morning, everyone has got a thought on this. I'm loving it. Thank you so much for all of the great texts and calls. Give me some patience. I'm going to try and get through as many of these calls and texts as we can. Randy in Dundurn, parliamentary reform is desperately required. Our outdated Westminster system, which favors Eastern Canada, is part of the problem. What democratic system allows one party to shut down parliament for 6 months? The Senate, parliamentary committees, and PMO that acts like a dictator is not working. The Privy Council report is a wake-up call to our corrupt political system and inability of our protection agencies. So the notion of reform is coming out of this conversation. What the conversation centers around is, if the polls are right, it looks as if we're going to see over 80% of Canadians vote for the two main parties, the Conservatives and the Liberals. And it's been two generations, not years, not even decades, two generations since Canada held an election where more than 80% of the vote was cast for the two parties. One of them was 1958. John Diefenbaker's Tories won a massive majority. Liberals got 33.4 that year. The Conservatives, 53.7. Before that, we have to go back to 1930. So it doesn't happen often that the majority, and I'm saying, would we be better off with a two-party system federally? It started off strong for the yeses. People were quickly on the phone saying that. But now what I'm seeing is the noes are coming out of the woodwork. And I want to take a couple of those calls as well. David and Regina, the two-party system scares you, David.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You had a caller that said that they would be forced to work better together. I couldn't agree less by looking south of the border. It's just become more and more partisan. You pointed out yourself what the percentage chance of times we had, 80% of the vote.
Right.
And as far as I'm concerned, our greatest, I'm a left-leaning listener. I just like to listen to what everybody has to say and would like us to work together. But the things we've accomplished the most are when we've had a minority government that's propped up by another government, or we wouldn't have things like EI, maternity leave, the things that a propping government can help out with. And look at some of the successful governments around the world. They're pluralistic and putting together out of 67 parties, they're putting together a coalition. I mean, you can make it work.
1-877-332-8255. Jack in Regina, following on, I'm sure, what David was saying, you're not a person that thinks a two-party system would be better.
Well, it's just putting me down for a big no on that one. Look south of the border and see what a political mess that is with the two-party system. And somebody said, oh, we can't have minority governments and we can't have coalitions. That means we get more diversity, more inclusion, more variety, more creativity, and forces governments in power to add things on that are going to be social justice issues. Where did we get a lot of our programs from? They came from the pressure on the governing party to include dental care, to include daycare, to include pharmacare, things like that, because they needed those votes and that support in the government.
You know, there's a number of texts that are saying exactly that. I got one here from Rick in Regina. With a two-party system, we likely wouldn't have all of the social programs. Healthcare would be at the top of the list. That's Jack's point that he's making there as well. 1-877-332-8255. Joy in Nipawin. That report would be no different than in the States, and I would think worse in the States. We need three parties in Canada for choice and balance and check. I'm a proud Canadian, period. Joy from Nipawin. 1-877-332-8255. Ari is pointing out the two-party premise in the States is actually not correct. They do have multiple parties. I talked a little bit about that earlier, but the reality is those parties are just not large enough to be represented. That's the case. I mean, RFK was he not running as an independent before he kind of formed that alliance with Donald Trump? So yeah, numerous people might run, and we see that in Saskatchewan as well. We see it federally. And my point about Saskatchewan, because I know, I think it was Colin sent me a text, said, you know, don't forget we had not just two parties in the last election provincially. There were six. Well, I recognize that because I had the leaders come into the show, the Green Party, the Buffalo Party. So we did have a number, but much like what we see in other provinces in the West, in BC, the elections are primarily a battle between the NDP and the Conservatives, before them, the Liberals. In Alberta, you've got the NDP versus the United Conservative Party, Saskatchewan, SAS Party, NDP, and of course, Manitoba, Progressive Conservatives against the NDP. There are other parties that are there, but essentially, you've kind of got almost a de facto two-party system. 1-877-332-8255. I want to grab Ian's call from Saskatoon. Good morning, Ian. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, it's different than what you're talking about, but it's still related to politics in Canada.
So let's hear it.
Okay, so I was watching, John Gormley would roll over if he was not with us anymore, but I was watching CBC. You know that Thursday night panel that Rosie Barton, yeah, got her name right this time, hosts? And the three panelists there were making fun of Alberta and Saskatchewan and the people that want to leave Canada. On April 15th, there was an article in the Saskatoon Star-Phoenix. It's an Angus Reid survey,
right,
and it's included with Jason Kenney saying how, you know, the political leaders shouldn't let the small minority dominate the agenda. Well, I took the numbers for that Angus Reid survey had the percentages of each province across Canada that were willing to leave Canada. for whatever reason, and then went to StatsCan, found the population estimates, and figured out how much of each population Angus Reid is saying wants to leave Canada, whether it's separate or whatever. It's 19% of Canadians, over almost 20% of Canadians. And there's more people want to leave Canada for whatever reason in eastern Canada than in all of the West, including Alberta.
Really? That's what it said? I didn't see. I don't think I saw that survey, or maybe I just didn't see that point.
I made up an Excel spreadsheet, and I did a snip of it, and I sent it to you as a Facebook message.
Okay. I'm going to check our Facebook
page. On the Evan Bray Show.
Hey, thanks for that.
Yeah, but I just felt so disrespected by those three panelists.
Yeah.
But if that's how we feel, or how some people feel, that's how they feel. They don't need to be chuckling and basically saying, you know, the rednecks out here. There's a million people in BC that are willing to leave Canada if you're going to take the Angus Reid poll, which CBC likes to tout.
Can I ask, Ian, I'm putting you on the spot. I've said I'm not a guy that wants to, number one, leave Canada for the States, and number two, I don't want to separate from Canada, but I want us to be better. Where would you fit yourself in that?
I would have to say I would be willing at this point, after all these years of having our votes not count, no matter who we vote for, after Ontario finishes the election, to at least, at a minimum, have an alliance, like an allegiance,
yep.
You know, like,
a union,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, a union, like the Quebec premier, Legault, or is it Legault that was on the East on the debate? He said, you know, we don't want to leave Canada, we want to work with Canada.
Right. Blanchette, you're talking about, yep.
Yeah, thank you. I agree. The people out east, like, I've lived in Ontario and I've lived in Quebec. So if, when I say people in eastern Canada don't understand the West, I'd have to say I agree.
Listen, I appreciate you letting me put you on the spot, Ian. Because it is a tough one. And here's my hope is that I am not about separation. I'm not. I want to remain part of Canada, but I want Canada to be better. I want to find a way to heal some of the things that are happening here. And one of those things is this feeling, and it's not wrong, this feeling that Western Canada doesn't matter, and what feels like a lack of respect. And so it is my hope that in this discussion that we're having, whether it continues after the election, I guess, is yet to be seen. But in this discussion, it's my hope that this drives up the urgency and the importance to try and find a way to ensure that we pull Canada together as a country, that we focus on Canadian unity, and the West gets its due diligence when it comes to respect and priority placed on the West and on our issues. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, I'm going to get back to the text line here in a second, and more of your calls when we come back. You're listening to Open Lines on the Evan Bray Show here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Evan Bray on this Wednesday morning as we finish up our Open Lines segment. And thank you for all of the calls and texts we've got at 1-877-332-8255. I want to read this text. There's no name attached to it, but the content caught my attention. Being originally from Europe, from a country with a multi-party political system, I find it difficult to see the advantages of a two-party system. It often leads to major policy swings between opposing sides, which can cost taxpayers enormous amounts of money. Projects and legislation introduced at great expense by one party are frequently dismantled by the next, wasting resources, creating uncertainty, especially for businesses. While multi-party systems and coalition governments have their drawbacks, such as slower decision-making, they offer greater stability and broader representation. For example, if a coalition exists of three parties representing 34, 15, and 15% of the population, respectively, together they reflect the voices of 64% of the electorate. In contrast, a two-party system often means that just over half the population, 51%, determines the direction of the country, leaving the remaining 49% feeling unrepresented. Interesting text, interesting perspective, and thank you for texting in. Let's go back to the phone line. A couple of people waiting patiently. I'm going to start with Dawn in Regina. I threw the question out just to stimulate conversation. Would we be better with a two-party system federally in Canada? What are your thoughts, Dawn?
Well, my thoughts are that you don't need a two-party system. What you need is a no-party system. And basically what I'm saying is right now you've got 338 seats that are elected, MPs that go in. And if you're lucky, you may have, let's say, 180 working as a unit, pushing their beliefs forward.
Right.
But at the same time, you have 158 that all they're doing is criticizing anything that the 180 do. So what we've done is we've put 338 people into the government to run our country, and we're using just over half of them to do that. Mm. Why not have each constituency being nominating their person, their representative, based on what that person brings to the table, what his beliefs are for the constituency, and also what his beliefs are for the country as a whole. And then when they get together after the election, the first week or 2 weeks is spent first off saying, well, who is the best person to be our prime minister? Who would represent us best? Who has those characteristics? And you then form committees based on the best available resources you have from that 338 people. Now you have these people working together with the same basic beliefs for their area, whether it be in agriculture or natural resources or export or whatever. And then they put their business plans together and take them forward, mm-hmm. like running the country more as a business.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the way you propose it, it's such an interesting concept, Don. That's why I was intrigued to listen. You certainly would get it would hopefully help that whole the West is not being heard argument, because if you're electing someone, they are in there and they are making decisions in terms of who's going to be in the cabinet positions, who's going to be in the prime minister position. So it's an interesting, I mean, this gets to government reform, which has been, I think, a pretty broad topic that we've been looking at this morning. 1-877-332-8255. I'm going to go now to Brent in Saskatoon. Brent, thanks so much for calling in. Your thoughts on open lines this morning?
Morning. I'm pushing 70 years old here, and I can remember my father and his friends in the early to mid-60s talking about how the West was not respected by Ottawa. In 60-plus years, things haven't really changed. We're in the same position now as what we were then. Are we better off to be independent? And I think we are, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Do I want to join the U.S.? Not necessarily. We in the West have to start standing up more so for ourselves. When Preston Manning started the Reform Party, he had the right idea for the West. When he tried to go nationally and joined the Canadian Alliance or formed the Canadian Alliance, that just put us right back 70 years again.
Drown out the voice, the strength of the voice. Thanks for the call, Brent, because I think, you know, the point is well taken that this is not new. This is not a new argument that has just bubbled up in this election. It might be louder. There might be new people joining the conversation or shouting from the rooftops about the challenges that we have, but it's not by any means new. Is this going to have an impact, this loud push from the West? And again, I'm going to suggest it will depend on the outcome of the election. We'll see how this unfolds and what this means for the West. But again, the conversation has been robust, in-depth, thoughtful, and appreciated. So thank you for joining our open phone segment. All right, we are going to shift gears. I've got a doctor joining me next who says in some cases she thinks we are over-diagnosing, especially our youth. It's quite an interesting conversation, and I'm looking forward to having it with Dr. Suzanne O'Sullivan when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.